Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Well, tonight, church, I get the privilege to be able to share the word with you. Pastor Ken and Chrissy are on a much-deserved holiday. As much as they'd love to be overseas, they are down south for this. So they've given me the keys to the stage. So I'm believing it's going to be a good service. Wild time, wild time. Wow, I want to come up here again, so I can't be too wild. But we've had such an amazing time these last month or so in this whole season of wholeness. And this wholeness season has been something that is such a privilege to be as a church like Nations, to be able to actually speak into and to be actually do this season of wholeness, because it's actually quite unique for churches to be able to do this. And what I actually and absolutely love is that every single service through this season, our altars have been full of people being so vulnerable and open to God, doing an amazing work in their lives. And I've had the privilege to be able to hear during our weeks as well, testimonies of what God is doing in people's lives through this season. People who have been hurting and going through this whole wholeness journey for years, God has just broken things over their lives in this season. And I'm so excited to be able to continue that tonight as we share together. And I wanted to start off tonight just sharing just one testimony from someone. And this is an anonymous testimony from somebody, but listen to this. This person says, "I'm not one to make a big deal of things or speak openly on many topics that concern my family, but I feel it's important here to do so. Since my family moved to Nations, every week's word has been a description of not just our week, but our lives. A message Pastors Ken and Chrissy gave a few weeks ago was again indicative of where my family was at the time and what we had ahead of us. My wife and I, for the first time since meeting, are becoming more and more spiritually connected. He says, I was brought up Roman Catholic and had never been one to regularly go to church. We took a fairly sizable financial hit recently, which left us concerned, to say the least. Sunday before church, I was forecasting the rest of the year, and when I saw the figure we needed, I almost fell over. I had a meeting in the week following about having to go away for a project till March. This is something we've been avoiding like anything, but in my work, it's almost inevitable. The roster they've given me is actually the best possible outcome of a bad situation. And the money I'll earn will be exactly what we need, not only for our family home, but for the money we had on our hearts to put into Nations Building Our Future Fund as well. This blessing on our family isn't at all new to me. We could write a small book of the blessings we've received in times of need since we met. This particular blessing, though, following on from everything I've mentioned, shows me we are exactly where we should be for this season of our lives and Nations. I want to thank you all on behalf of my family for allowing us to share in your journey." Isn't that so great to hear? Why don't we give God a hand in that moment? I mean, everybody has a different testimony, right? And I just love the power of a testimony, is it's so encouraging to other people as well. And I just want to encourage us, church, to not give up celebrating what God is doing, to not give up sharing with others what God is doing in your lives. Church, let's be good at having a culture of praising God, right? We have our giving station up the back there, and there is a praise report and prayer request box up there as well. And we have these prayer cards that if you still want to do it on pen and paper, you're welcome to fill it out there. There's a table up there where you can fill in what God has done in your life so we can celebrate together. And your miracle can be an encouragement to others as well. Or if you have needs in your life, we would love to journey with you in that time. We don't want you to do anything alone. We're a family. We're a community. We do life together. We support each other in our times of need, and we celebrate with each other when we have times of celebration, hey? And so don't give up recording and letting us know what God is doing in your life. You can do it online, on the app. There's plenty of ways you can do that at the moment. And so today I'm going to share with us a little bit, still continue on in this journey of wholeness in this season. And it's something that God has been really working on and encouraging me in this season. It's just figuring out, you know, in this time of wholeness, so often we can be stuck in a season, and that season can seem to be all-consuming, right? So often we can be stuck in a season, and whatever that looks like in your world, and it can seem like there's actually no way out. And so God has been revealing to me out of the scriptures and testimonies of ways out in this. And I just wanted to share today out of that place, and hopefully that can be an encouragement to you as well, right? Because I don't know if you're anything like me, but have you ever been told you're not good enough? Or have you ever felt you're not good enough? Have you ever felt you don't match up to the next person? Or that your gifts and talents aren't as good as the next person along the line? You felt there's no point contributing because someone else can do it better. You know, maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you haven't quite been in that state yet, but I can guarantee you, as we progress through life, every single one of us will face that place of comparison and insecurities where it seems to consume us. Whether that relates to an area of serving at church, whether that relates to an area in your workplace, whether that even relates to your family and your spouse and kids, that you just don't feel that you've got enough to give, that you just don't feel what you have inside of you is enough. Every single one of us will face this at some point in time. And I want to really encourage us in that space today, that God has got an incredible plan for every single one of you, that God has never, ever asked you to be perfect. He's never asked you to come to Him fully complete with everything that's needed. All He's done is asked you just to come. You see, every single one of us is fallible. Every one of us is fragile and broken in some capacity. We've all stuffed up and continue to stuff up over and over again. There's cracks in our lives, and sometimes our cracks seem to be bigger than the person next door to us and more visible than someone else around us, but every single one of us have them. The reality is we're like clay pots. And so to give my message a title today, it is this, that we are all cracked pots. Or you can call yourself a crackpot, whatever, but we are all cracked pots. And I want to read and share with you today where that comes from. And it's from a passage by the Apostle Paul. Well, I may have used it a little bit differently, but I'm going with it. And it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it's verse 7. And it says this, this one's out of the New Living Translation. It says, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves." And the Voice translation says it like this, "But this beautiful treasure is contained in us, cracked pots made of earth and clay, so that the transcendent character of this power will be clearly seen as coming from God and not from us." Right? So we are all clay jars, clay pots, whichever way you want to put it. I've got here the closest resemblance. It's a clay pot, but, you know, clay pots are pretty worthless, and it's amazing how brands manage to make them worth a lot of money these days. But this is, this passage in 2 Corinthians from Paul is an incredible passage, but it's so often one that is so easy to just skip over as well. I've so often read and seen this scripture on bumper stickers or on bookmarks or anything like word of the day, whatever. You read it over, think, yeah, good word, and you just read straight past it. And so as I've read into it in this past week or so, it's been so encouraging to see the depth that there is in this passage. Paul preached an incredible word through this, and today I want to share out of this verse and explore it and open it up a little bit more for us. Because Paul here is talking about this great and beautiful treasure that is found in these fragile and even cracked clay jars. Lucky this one's not cracked. I was waiting for Yoey as he brought him up. I was hoping he wasn't going to drop it and further my example. But what does all this mean, right? Well, this is where we come into the picture. Because every single one of us are like clay jars. They're such humble, simple containers, extremely common, and especially in the ancient world where this text was written, clay jars carried everything they had. Yet they're also cheap, not very durable, and useless if broken, with little intrinsic value. You're like, oh, great. He's telling us we're useless and fragile and common. We'll get there. It's all right, you know. But this is the point, though, that us as humans are so often looking for things with the best packaging, the best wrappers, the best design. We're looking for the flashy pot, the flashy vase, the flashy thing to be able to hold things, the flashy packaging, because we want to look at the packaging to see the glory. But God never felt the need to enhance the packaging. Even Jesus came to earth as a man, as a clay jar, just like us. He was not embarrassed to come in the same simple way. When we consider clay and the process it must go through in order to be a useful vessel, it includes molding and shaping and a fiery hot kiln. It really has a lot to do with the maker, the potter, rather than being all about the clay itself. And to top it off, once the vessel is ready to be used, once again, it isn't about the packaging that determines its worth, but it's what it is used for. It is what goes in it that is the important thing. It was never about the package, the clay jar. It has always been and always will be about the treasure inside the clay jar, the treasure inside of us, which is the incredible and beautiful nature of God that He has placed inside every single one of you. Every single one of us are simple clay jars with a phenomenal, beautiful, and glorious touch of God inside of us. When Paul considers us as earthen vessels or clay jars, he isn't knocking our physical being or calling us useless. Instead, Paul simply compares, right, the value of God's incredible light and value compared to the vessel and the value of that is holding it. And when we do that comparison, it's then that it isn't hard to be amazed at what God has put such, that He has put such incredible treasure into such a simple clay pot. And when we look at it like that, we actually see who is actually even worthy after all that, right? Who's worthy to be a carrier of God's light and glory? I don't know about you, but it's not me, right? Whether you're the smartest, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're the smartest in the room, the purest in the room, the most spiritual, the most talented, the best looking, none of that is actually good enough. We are all just clay pots, but each one of us hold an unspeakably great treasure. So then we need to ask ourselves, why does God even bother putting this treasure in us? And that is so the great power in us points so obviously to God rather than the vessel that's containing it, right? It's so evident that when God moves mightily in our lives, not a single one of us can take the credit for it because it is so obviously something beyond the clay jar. So then we ask ourselves, right, what are we supposed to do? If we're weak and empty, how do we then point people to Jesus? Well, that's the easy bit. If you drive a car and your car's empty of fuel, what do? Well, you fill it up. You go to the station to fill it up. It's exactly the same for us. Every single day, we need to go back to Jesus and allow His grace to fill us up. And as His grace washes over us, renews us every single day, like clay actually needs to be renewed and refined every single day. In the same way, we need to allow God's grace to wash over us every single day. And it's in that place that we're able to show and reveal God's incredible glory and beauty. Romans 3, 22 to 24 says this: "We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins." And Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10 continues this in grace. It says, "God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." And again, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That is why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, in that scenario, I kind of wish I was like Paul. I don't know if any of you are like me, but who celebrates their weaknesses? It's certainly not me. It's like Paul says here, he's glad to boast about his weaknesses. I'm like, oh, wow. You know, I stand here and I'm like, you know, I'm not really a fan of my weaknesses. Every single day I wake up with my insecurities and my comparisons, and I'm not really proud of them. And so every single day I need to continue to go back to God. Let His grace wash over me. Let His grace renew me so that I can accept the fact that I don't need to compare myself against anyone else. I don't need to be controlled by my insecurities anymore. I love that passage because it's a declaration that it is okay to be weak. We don't need to pretend we're strong and we've got it all under control. It is okay to admit that we're weak because that is where God works in us. It's there that it's like, okay, I'm weak, but I can go again. I can go to Christ. He can wash me. I can go again. I can go again. So often it can be, you know, we can feel that it's like one step forward, two steps back. But it's okay, because over time, it'll be three steps forward, one step back, all right? Every single day, if we keep going to God, letting His grace wash over us, eventually, God's grace will be revealed through us. His power will be worked through us. 1 Corinthians 1, 27 to 29 says, "Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And He chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God." Every day and all throughout the Bible, God has and is still using imperfect vessels to show the world His love, His grace, His kindness, His goodness. That's His glory that He is revealing through us as vessels. And in the time we have left, I really wanted to just come around and encourage us around a few different areas in our lives where God wants to work through. And firstly, He wants to use your season that you're in to display His power. God wants to use the season you're in. He doesn't want you to be shriveled up in a corner, consumed by your season and not being able to find a way out. Right where you are today, God can and wants to work through you. He wants to be a blessing to your world, but he doesn't want to do it without you. He wants to do it through you. Recently, I was so inspired by one of our young adults, Aaron Cabay. I don't know if he's here. It was an incredible... There he is. Front and center. I like it. He shared on social media that just something God had prompted in his heart. Sorry to embarrass you, Aaron, but I loved it, and it was a great encouragement to me, so I'm saying it. But Aaron, who's an engineer and works full-time in his own right, knew that God had prompted him to do something, and it prompted him to pray for people. A simple act, right? And he put out on his socials that said, hey, if anyone wants any prayer for anything, today I'm committing any of my spare time to praying for people's needs. And I loved it that even in the busy life, he was making space. Hopefully his boss was okay with it. He was making space for God to be able to work through him. And he shares these testimonies of so many people who have been sharing prayer requests that wanted him to pray. And he was telling me about this one incredible story that someone had been struggling with chest pains for 2.5 years. They've been struggling with this. After prayer, bang, it was gone and hadn't come back again. Incredible miracles that were able to be performed. God's power was able to be revealed through a season that seemingly is something we just... motoring through day in, day out, another day at work, another day, come on, maybe one day God's going to be able to use me in something. But Aaron took that stand to be able to say, no, in my workplace, I want to let God use me and work through me. I love it. I give credit to my wife. She was in ministry for 13 years before she became a mum. And so even in that season, she knew that God was calling her to do something different. And she was feeling his prompting in things. And that wasn't to rush that season of motherhood. She knew her season was for motherhood and the incredible joy that is. And so, but in that season, she was, and it goes so quick, doesn't it? For those parents out there, that season of young children goes so fast. And so she wanted to embrace that. And so she started community playgroups right here in our building, in our kids' facilities, and opened it up midweek to community coming in. And she's been able to see over 30 different community families who've never walked into a church building before coming in and through our playgroups with many of our church families as well, and be able to see them walking into a church building, asking questions, being blessed through a free playgroup, understanding that, oh, the church is here to serve and love me. And in a time that is so raw and vulnerable for so many people, they're able to be loved on and served through her just embracing her season. Now for you, whether it's in your job, whatever that looks like, whether you love your job, whether you, let's say, struggle with your job and in your workplace, God can use that season. Whether you study, whether you're still at school or whether you're in uni, don't rush your season. Ask God what he can do in your season, how he can use you through your season. Maybe you're going through a season of pain in some area. And that is so raw and real, and I get it. And so God wants to use that season and work through that season as well. He wants to love you and embrace you in that season. And he wants to work through you in that season so you can be an encouragement to other people on the other end of it. For Beck and I, we got married in our late 20s and, you know, we had all the normal plans like so many people do of, yep, we're getting married, we're going to have kids, and, you know, by early 30s, we'll have 3 kids, and, you know, we'll be doing this as work, we'll be living here. You know, we all have our life mapped out, right? And then after a few years, you know, weren't falling pregnant, nothing was happening. So we went down the path of fertility, did a full cycle of IVF, still nothing happening. It's like, okay, maybe this wasn't as easy as we sort of planned out in our head. Meanwhile, every well-meaning mum and auntie in church is sort of coming along, giving great advice on what we should do and giving us great books to read and flipping great websites and giving incredible advice that we never asked for. sharing all sorts of things. Don't worry, it wasn't here, so it's okay. You know, it would never happen here in Nations, would it? No. Even to the point where people are like, hey, come on, when are you starting a family? Don't wait too long. I'm like, you know, mouth shut. I would never say a comment like, we can't get pregnant, and then walk away and leave them. But you know, you face these things, right? And I get it. Your season may look very different, but it will include pains of your own, right? It'll include your own hurts. And it was through that journey for us that even through our hurts and our pains, we realized that God can use your past experiences to display his power. Did you know yours and my experiences aren't meant to be hidden away, tucked away from anybody from hearing, even kept there in the dark recesses of our mind, consuming you? God wants to use your experiences to display his power. He wants to work through your experiences in order to help other people. And that was the case for Beck and I. It was at that place of failed fertility treatment that we decided to go down the adoption path, and we made a decision to be open and vulnerable with people in that season. For what is such a real and vulnerable time for so many people, we made a choice that we would be open through that time to be able to share with people what that looked like. And for those of you who don't know, 2 years ago, this past week actually, we got matched with our beautiful little Rosie, who was 10 months at the time. And it was an incredible, and we've got to say, one of the happiest seasons in our life and experiences in our life was what that was. And you may think, yeah, well, you got the kids, so yeah, it's easy to share out of that place, right? But we went through many years of trying to get pregnant, fertility treatment, 4 years on the adoption journey before we got matched with Rose. All the while, just imagining, okay, maybe we will never have a kid. Maybe that's just what's lined up for us. Not knowing what the future held in that, right? But all the while, sticking to our decision to share out of our experiences, to share out of that place what is sometimes hurt and lonely, what is sometimes misunderstood. But we had to make a decision so that we could be an encouragement to others. But I can guarantee you and tell you the truth that through that decision, God was honestly so glorified, and his power was actually able to work through that situation. And it had nothing to do with us, because we were broken vessels. We're simple clay jars, but it was through that decision to let God work through our experiences, his power was able to be revealed. And so we've had the incredible privilege through our last 11 years of marriage to be able to journey with so many couples, the journey of marriage, of fertility, of adoption, and of so many other things in between. And it's been an incredible privilege that, yes, came from times of pain, but we were able to be out by being open and vulnerable through our season. We were able to receive healing and wholeness in our own journey and be able to be victors through our situation. And God was honestly able to point people to him. We were able to show people a hope and a future through that. And for so many people, you know, your victories through your situation can be such an encouragement that other people are waiting for. And that's what I was sharing before about the praise report. You never know what other people are going through. So many people could be struggling through the same thing as you, and hearing your victory through your situation, through your time of waiting, can be exactly what somebody needs to just have another week of hope, to have another day of faith, to be able to get through. Romans 8:28, it's an incredible scripture that I absolutely love. It says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. God is sovereign, and his ability to manage every aspect of our lives is demonstrated in the fact that all things work together for good to those who love God, right? And although we are not immune to facing pains, hurts, those situations and sufferings, God is able to make even those sufferings work together for our good and, more importantly, His good. God is able to work all things, not some things, all things. He works them for good together, not in isolation, right? The promise is for those who love God in the biblical understanding of love. So that means for every one of us who choose to follow Christ. And if you don't know Jesus here today, in just a little while, I'm going to share a prayer that I'd love for you to join with me in, and you can start that relationship with Jesus today. Today, you can be a part of the incredible family that it is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you know, for me, it was one thing learning to trust that God could use the season I'm in. It was one thing to know that God could use my past experiences. But it was a whole nother thing for me to know that He could use my gifts and talents to display His power. That to me was the hard thing. Because for me, for so long, I didn't think my gifts and talents were any good. I didn't feel that there was any value in my gifts and talents. I always felt that someone else's was better, that someone else's could do more than me, could do better than me. I was, you know, all through school, I suppose, and after, I always felt I was a jack of all trades, but master of none. There was always someone better. And you know what? There's always going to be. In life, there's always going to be. But you know what? I'll say it again. God never asked you to come to Him as the best. He never asked you to come to Him complete and only complete. He asked us to come to Him humbly and open and broken. That's how He wants us. That's how He wants us to come to Him, because it's then that He can fill us. It's there that His grace can wash us anew. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says this, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. I love that passage because it's God saying to us, use what's in your hand. Use the gift in your hand. He's not saying, this is what you have to do in order to come to me. He's saying, what's your gift? We'll use that. What are you good at? We'll use that. That might be a smile, right? I've actually realized, it might sound funny, but I've actually realized the power of a smile can be life-changing for so many people. And every single one of us can do that, right? You know, it could be a word of encouragement. You may be a great encourager. Simply coming alongside someone and sharing a word of encouragement with them can be actually life-changing, can help give someone a breakthrough through their situation and circumstance. My old senior pastor shares this story that when he was a teenager, he came out of an extremely abusive family situation. He lived in what he called the Bronx in Sydney. And it was a hard life for a kid. But they had this little old lady that lived over the road. And she used to occasionally drop over a casserole to their house, leave it out the front with a simple little note on the top. And it said, Jesus loves you. A simple statement. It was that statement that actually led him and his best mate to receive Christ and turn their lives around and pursue Jesus. That simple act. And they don't even know where this little old lady got to. She traveled around and wasn't in any place for that long. But him and his best mate actually refer back, and they feel that over the last 40 years, both of them in ministry, have seen between them over 40,000 people give their lives to Jesus. Sons of alcoholics, abusive family situations, living in the Bronx, a simple act by an old lady to give a casserole and use her gift of hospitality to a family in need, was able to see over 40,000 people receive salvation. I want to encourage us today that every single one of us can find our little thing. Every single one of us have gifts and talents on your life and in your life that you can use. And I totally get it that your seasons and situations and experiences can be so agonizing sometimes. And I never want to downplay the experiences that you may have gone through. But every single one of us have an opportunity to make a decision to do something about it. My wife has this beautiful tea set, right, that she got as a gift years ago. And when she got given this gift, they said to her, you got to make sure you use this tea set in order for it to stay in good condition. Because if it dries out, if it's not used, if you don't do anything with it, it'll wither away, become brittle and break. Even if it just sits on a shelf. And it's the same with us as clay jars, clay pots. If we don't use them, if we don't reveal the glory that is inside of us, even just a little bit, that's when we start seeing cracks and brokenness happen in our lives. As we start to take a step forward, whatever that looks like for you, you're allowing God's power to be revealed in your situation. It's in that place that God's glory is able to be revealed by a simple act. In this moment right now, I just want to encourage us all just to close our eyes and bow your heads, just to give people around you a bit of a moment of privacy. And I just want to tell every single one of you here today that Jesus loves you. That no matter what your circumstances look like right now, no matter what season you find yourself in right now, maybe you can't see that there's any way out of your season. God loves you and He wants to make a way. I don't know what past experiences you've been through in your life. I know many people here would have been through some agonizing ones. But you know what? That's not even a moment of comparison. Because God loves you and He wants to use your past experiences to reveal His power, His glory, and His light through you. And tonight I just want to address and talk to one group of people. It's that group that I mentioned before, that you may be here and you've never made a decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never made that decision to start a relationship with Him. Maybe you've heard about Him. Maybe you've been to church for a while. But you've never made that decision to put your life in His hands. And so today, I want to offer you that opportunity. With every eye closed all around the place, apart from just a couple of team to help me, I want to ask you to do a simple act in just a moment. I'm going to count to three, and then I want to ask you just to slip your hand up, give me a little wave so I can see you. And I would love to take this opportunity to pray with you, that today you're going to start a new relationship with Jesus Christ, who can be Lord of your life. I'm telling you, He is everything you've been searching for in your life. That emptiness, that is exactly what He wants to fill. That loneliness, He wants to come in and be your best friend. And it's a decision that so many people in this room have made before. And today, we would love to celebrate with you if you want to make that decision as well. So on the count of three, I want to ask you, if that is you in this place and you want to make the decision today to start a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. One, two, three. Come on, slip up your hands. Is there anybody here today? Come on, I see that hand. Good on you, mate. Come on, is there anyone else who wants to join this amazing guy here? That today is going to be the day that your life starts anew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just another 10 seconds while we give you time. I know God is working on people right now. You may feel this feeling in your heart, in your chest. It might be beating right now. That's God prompting you. He wants to start a relationship with you. It might sound weird, but I'm telling you, it is the best decision you can ever make in your life. Is there anyone else who wants to start a relationship with Jesus today? Well, right now, I want to say a prayer. And I want every single one of you to repeat it. And young man, I'd love to pray this with you today. So why don't we repeat this prayer after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I am sorry for living life my own way. Please forgive me of my sins and set me free. Help me to live every day to follow you. I believe that you are God and that you died on the cross and that you rose again. I want to have a real relationship with you. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior and friend. Thank you for the great plan you have for my life. Amen and amen. Come on, why don't we give God a great shout of praise? What a man. God's got an incredible plan for you, mate. Today's going to be the start of something fresh. I don't know your story, but all I know is that God loves you because that's what His Word says. Come on. Can you stand with me today? And I just want to ask you just a moment just to close your eyes with me, just where you're standing. To sing a worship song in a moment. It's called Broken Vessels. And I want you to listen to these words and sing them along if you know them. But I want you to hear them and take them into your heart because God has a plan through your season. God has a plan and a purpose to move in your life through the season you're in right now. God wants to move through the experiences of your past, the experiences that maybe for so long you've tried to shove away in the background and don't want to talk about it. God wants to use those experiences. He wants to move through your life to be able to impact others. God loves you too much to leave you where you are. He wants to see you change and transform. He wants to see you healed and whole. Jesus, come on, why don't you stretch out your hands everywhere if you feel comfortable. Come on, team, why don't we sing this?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.